This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. We made it to the end of January.
Yeah, man. Did you get out and enjoy that 56-degree weather yesterday? Tell me you didn't stay in the house.
I didn't do too much active outside, but I went and got the car washed.
Well, there you go. I see. Some people wash their own cars in nice weather, huh?
Yeah. Hey, it wasn't that nice.
It was 56 degrees, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want to be outside with the hose, even in 56 degrees.
Hey, Sandy.
What kind of talk is that?
So that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah.
I bet you didn't stay in the house.
No, I did not stay in the house. It was a nice day. It was worth getting out.
Yeah, 56.
Took my dog for a long walk. Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely 56 degrees in Jen. It's so rare that it hasn't happened in 36 years. That's
well,
how
the
rare
amazing
yesterday
thing
was.
Is we're getting through January. Today's what, the last day?
Yeah.
And
3 inches of snow.
No snow. Yeah. You know, one brief snow. It was a snow so light that no one really needed to shovel it. You know, the shoveling we did was in December.
Hey, Sandy. Shh.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. So by now, you know who that is. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to see you. The events of the day are probably harder to talk about today.
Yeah, well, we got to get to that. But we first got a guest, a return guest, Mr. Bob Amsterdam. He is He has an international law firm, and Bob, it's always good to you. You deal with government relations. It's always good to hear from you, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So the Orthodox Church and the issues that have been a ongoing problem. Is it what Orthodox Church is it? So I don't make a mistake.
We represent the
Ukrainian Orthodox Church. We've talked about
a 1,000-year-old church.
How old?
1,000-year-old church.
So you and I have had this conversation several times over the last couple of years. So to remind the listening audience of what the issue is.
The issue very simply is that the Ukrainian government is out to destroy this church. They are jailing priests, torturing priests, sending priests to Russia in exchange for prisoners, priests who don't even speak Russian. It is ethnic, religious cleansing taking place with U.S. funds, and it is an outrageous violation of international law, an outrageous violation of the U.S. Constitution and international law that protects freedom of religion. These people are guilty of one thing, that is worshiping Jesus Christ, and that is not a crime. And the punishment these people are suffering because they are not joining a state-run, State Department-sponsored five-year-old church is absolutely outrageous. And I'm here back in Washington speaking at a religious freedom conference where, in fact, a Ukrainian will be speaking, the man who has helped draft the legislation to destroy this church. And he's being hosted. And to my mind, hosting this gentleman is exactly like having Hamas as the guest speaker at a B'nai B'rith conference. It's absolutely outrageous. But in this country, if you're Ukrainian, you cannot be criticized. You get some form of godlike status because some of the money that we send to Ukraine is recycled back to lobbyists in Washington.
So, Bob, I will say that the statement you just made is a pretty bold statement. There are many people in this country who support Ukraine, and we just had a president that certainly, you know, and the American people have invested, you know, billions and billions of dollars in supporting Ukraine.
Well, and Bob, you
and
know,
Earl, I support Ukraine. I support Ukraine against Russia completely. I totally believe they are the victims of an awful war of aggression. I don't want to change our support of the Ukraine war effort. But I'm telling you that people in this country need to wake up to what's happened to followers of Jesus Christ in Ukraine. That's all.
Sandy.
The only thing, Mark, that I thought I,
Bob,
you know, we talk on this, we, Bob, I mean, the things we talk about on this show quite regularly and do involve, for instance, I guess using the more generic term K Street. And it is true that you are a representative. By that, I mean, you are a paid representative, right? You lobby on behalf of this organization as well as appearing on radio shows, et cetera.
You know, let me be clear, sir. I'm a lawyer.
So you represent clients.
But you know, to be honest with you, sir, I am banned from Russia. I represented the Russian opposition, and for that, I was arrested in the streets of Moscow.
I'm not impugning you. I'm simply wanting the public, just as if you walked into a senator's office or whatever. I was a part of.
I don't know. We just lost Sandy. I think he's back, Sandy.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The department I was responsible for included lobbying, and we were all lawyers. So I mean, I just think the public ought to understand that lobbying does include the responsible process of representing interests, and that's what you're doing here. But, you know, because you're, you know, the problems you identify are difficult ones, I'm sure, and it's important that the public learn about it. But I just wanted the public to understand who was talking.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, sir. I will tell you that whether or not you're paid, when you took, as I did, four of my other lawyers into Ukraine during wartime, and you interview priests who were tortured, and priests who have been illegally detained. And then you go and you present the evidence, and His Holiness the Pope, and the World Council of Churches, and the British part of the Anglican Church, and in fact, every other body known to man. There is nobody supporting Ukraine's destruction of this church that knows international law. They are alone in trying to argue that because this church has a canonical connection to Russia, it should be destroyed. So there are some things, whether or not you're paid for, that you have to believe pretty passionately about, and I believe very passionately in the rule of law. And I believe in that whether I'm paid or not. And in 2013, I was honored to be the American lawyer recipient of the Global Pro Bono Award, because I took the UN to court and beat them. So it isn't a matter, you know, you can be listened to whether you're paid or not. What's happening in Ukraine is an outrage. And what's happening in Ukraine has been the subject of discussion in proceedings all over the world with respect to the church. And the problem is, in the United States, we have a government. Firstly, the State Department has been involved in the establishment of the other church because it was a political decision, because they wanted to weaken Putin. And to weaken Putin, they didn't give a darn about what it was going to do to the actual Orthodox doctrine. And they've caused a tremendous fracture among world Orthodoxy, because I will tell you that in the world of Orthodoxy, our church is the one that is recognized by the majority.
So Bob, let's let Sandy respond.
Sandy, no, I don't want to respond. I just wanted to ask a question. So, was this new sort of outgrowth, this Ukrainian-centric version of Orthodox? Was this does this go back to the Maidan Revolution in that period, or when was it that this originated? And was Victoria Nuland, some of the actors in the State Department, were they part of this process of initiating this new religious initiative?
Well, sir, you obviously know history. This church, the OC, she should be a saint of that church. This church is part of Victoria Nuland's plan to weaken Russian influence. And this woman was merciless in terms of not caring what she was doing relative to Orthodox doctrine. She just wanted to find ways which she felt in her wisdom. And let me tell you, when it comes to Ukraine, the damage she's done has been unbelievable.
So, Bob, let me interrupt you. Do you have a couple more minutes, or do you have to go? Okay. So Bob Amsterdam, Attorney Bob Amsterdam, is on the line. And so he's talking about Ukraine and, you know, Sandy Williams. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Right on.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we'll certainly talk about the music, Sandy's music, a little later on. My guest is Bob Amsterdam, attorney Bob Amsterdam, an international attorney. So Sandy, I think you wanted to finish your point, and then we'll give Bob a chance to...
I asked the question about Victoria Nuland and the extent to which her State Department was complicit. But what is it that, so you're on the air talking about this to the American people. What is it that the American people should take away from this? And what is it that you're suggesting that they do in the way of an action point? I mean, you're giving information to us, but then you know, in today's world, and in, with the incoming administration and the talk of trying to end the war in Ukraine, what point are you trying to make with respect to American policy?
Well, I'll tell you quite honestly, I'm making no point about American policy because my people are on the front line fighting Russia. My point is I need people to go to their priests, go to their rabbis, go to their member of Congress and Senate and ask them to contact the Ukrainian government. This is all about influencing Ukraine. If Ukraine's government understands that people in the United States are watching what's happening to this church, we might get the Ukrainians to stop the destruction of the church. That's what's critical. And that's the only thing. We don't want to involve ourselves in American politics. We're not going to do what Mr. Zelensky tried to do. We're a church that supports the government's fight against the Russian invasion. But we want to save the church. And as of May, under this illegal bill that was passed in Ukraine, this church will lose its legal personality and cease to exist. So it is very crucial that people reach out and that the government reaches out and lets people in Ukraine, the government in Ukraine, know that people are watching the destruction of a 1,000-year-old Christian church.
So, Mr. Amsterdam, I want to thank you very much once again for that time and wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I guess we can move on. Or is there something you want to respond to?
No. I think that what Mr. Amsterdam is talking about is potentially very important. That obviously is from his perspective, and I have read enough about what's going on within Ukraine to understand that the politics within Ukraine are hard to simplify and should not be simplified. And it's always been an underlying factor, I think, with respect to the nature of our support for Ukraine and the complexities involved with the government of Ukraine.
Well, I'll tell you, Sandy, we've got enough to talk about with what's happening in our nation. The horrible plane crash on yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that plane crash, to me at least, it did something very startling for me. It put a face on the American government's, the government's bureaucrats, okay? The so-called deep state that the incoming president ran so fiercely against and tried to get the American people to believe that bureaucrats were the problem, okay? And bureaucrats is the term that's used for people who work for the federal government. But the people who work for the federal government include very important people, the people who are our air traffic controllers, the people who fight our wildfires, the people who test the safety of our food and drugs. Most of the people who work for the federal government are, first of all, have a face and have an area of expertise and do important functions that are not necessarily replaceable.
So
we have an accident that happens, and we don't know why it happened exactly, but we have a president who immediately decides that he will take on the bureaucracy and will describe them as being the source of the problem out of some sort of incompetence that he believes, based on his common sense, must be based on a DEI initiative of his predecessors. I mean, I was appalled. I was absolutely appalled by the presidential response spontaneously without factual basis at a press conference.
You know, Sandy, to finger point, to say Barack Obama, to say Joe Biden, to say the transportation the former
secretary
Pete Buttigieg,
and to
single him out.
Well, and but to simply decide that this is the result of DEI initiatives and that it was the result of incompetence without an exploration of the facts. I mean, accidents happen, okay? And almost every accident is the result of some sort of human conduct. But to immediately assume that this human conduct was deficient as the result of some sort of initiative, which is either race or gender-based, is like a remarkable, I think my reaction to this is, is there no decency? Have you no decency in terms of exercising the power of the presidency to mold public opinion and to take public opinion in this direction, in this circumstance, and to politicize it was astonishing to me, absolutely astonishing. And I hope it was astonishing to many people.
Sandy, families who haven't had a chance to grieve yet, and they see the president of the United States go before the world and start blaming people. I mean, just incomprehensible. But, you know, that's what we're dealing with. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Friday. That means it's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to continue the conversation. You're tuning into The Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, great music, but we'll give people a chance to decide or determine or to guess, you know, what's going on in Sandy's head with the music today. You know, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, you just laid out this horrific plane crash, and a man that should be bringing the people together, he couldn't do that. He started pointing fingers and using profanity to describe somebody that's not even there, and talking about the incompetence. It's easy to point the finger at other people and call them incompetent, Sandy. But maybe the guy that's doing the talking, maybe it says something about him.
Well, I think what this does is it puts a clear face on the importance of government functions generally. And this notion that we have a deep state filled with bureaucrats, people who are doing something which is unimportant, which we can, for instance, set up a policy to simply excite them into retiring, regardless of what their function is. I mean, this program that was attempted to be initiated or is attempting to be initiated of people who are federal employees exercising a buyout regardless of where they work, regardless of how important their job might be. I mean, the fact is that traffic controllers work very hard, and the burnout rate of traffic controllers is very high. And there is a shortage of traffic controllers. And the fact is that of all the employees who might take a buyout, traffic controllers might be a significant segment. So how smart is that to initiate a program which is designed to purge the government of exceedingly important personnel, personnel who are scarce and hard to find, and personnel who require a great deal of competence in order to keep us safe? And so by putting a face on government personnel, I think it creates, in fact, a counterbalance to this notion that what the government is filled with is a bunch of people who are simply sucking money out of the government to do jobs which are unimportant and to do jobs which anybody can do. Get rid of them and get rid of as many of them as possible. And then let's see if we can't go out and replace them with people who are loyal politically. And, you know, fighting fires doesn't require political loyalty. Guiding planes safely into a landing does not require political loyalty. In fact, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the job.
You know, Sandy, yes, I'm 100% in agreement with all those things you said. But I also know that he denigrated disabled people. He started talking about disabled people as if, you know, they're not qualified or capable of handling certain things. We push for a long time in this country, Sandy, to not discriminate against disabled people. Right? It's been an ongoing issue. We've made a lot of traction in not denigrating disabled people. Depending on what their disability is, they're just like anybody else, Sandy. You know, if a person has, you know, a problem with a limb or whatever, it doesn't mean they don't have the capacity to think like anybody else.
Well, yeah, and the fact is that the policy that he decided to read from, some aide must have said, hey, look at this, as he was walking out for his press conference. That policy was in place during his term in office, 2016 to 2020. A reporter later reminded him of that, and he denied it. a bald-faced untruth, right? Because it was in place. It was a policy that was in place. And the fact is that the policy, if implemented, wouldn't necessarily have anything whatsoever to do with the competence of an air traffic controller, the capacity of the person to be a competent air traffic controller. And, you know, so to try to politicize an accident that happened, a tragic one, by trying to suggest that some one of his policies that he's trying to implement has anything whatsoever to do with whether that accident would have occurred or not, is just bald-faced the politicization, and it's also, it was racist, you know, because in the people's mind, DEI is all about race. The reporter that asked him whether he had any basis whatsoever for thinking that DEI was at the seat of the problem, he said, no, just my common sense.
Well,
as if there was some dots to be connected between DEI and the competence of air traffic controllers in Washington.
All right, let's go to Richard from Waukesha. Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
How's it going there?
All right.
I have a lot of questions about this plane. Did they release the names of the people that died on it?
Well, yes.
I think they haven't released all the...
Well, I mean, I've seen, I watched this morning, they showed the faces of the people and names of many of them, not all. Why is that an issue, sir?
There's so much, it just smells so much like cover-up or opportunism.
What do you mean?
With the president, he seems like he's going to take any opportunity out of anything or cover anything up. And they don't even have the recording boxes.
Yeah, they've got them. They have them now, sir.
But he was
talking.
Go ahead quickly.
Had the information. before they even had the information.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Richard. Thank you.
Well, his press conference came within a couple of hours of the crash, at which time they really had no information whatsoever other than the videotape of the conversation and some videos, or the tape of the conversation and some videos that were taken by observers. That was the remarkable thing, was that they were speaking without information laying blame based on intuition, you know, which is remarkable. And with respect to giving out the names, typically that isn't done for a period of time, during which time the next of kin and others get notified, and a verification process as well. There was some early information that related to those figure skaters and the coaches that were on the plane, because that was knowledge that people had that was third-hand knowledge.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, so just to go back, actually like a month ago, the CEO of United Airlines, he was interviewed by NPR December 4th, and he brought up the fact that there is a tremendous shortage of FAA controllers, and this has been ongoing for quite a while now. And the fact is that apparently, from what I understand, that the control tower, the person that was behind there, they operate on two different frequencies. And you have one guy on this, doing both jobs for the helicopters and then for the commercial airlines. They were not fully staffed at Reagan National. And I guess the amount of near misses has gone up exponentially. And you know, I guess the point is that should have been addressed a lot sooner, and consequently, I do think yes.
Well,
David, I will tell you that the shortage of air traffic controllers didn't just happen under Joe Biden. It's been going on for decades.
It hasn't been going on for decades, actually.
Yeah, and I think here, but I think Dave, this is true, that I do think that there is a shortage of air traffic controllers and has been for a long time. Air traffic controllers are government employees and ones that who perform a very important function. Promoting their early retirement would hardly be good public policy. We have a government policy that was attempted to be put in place, which could easily have resulted in air traffic controllers burning out because they're being asked to do what apparently this particular air traffic controller was doing, which was operating two functions at the same time. That might well be the kind of thing that would promote his or her early retirement. I think you will agree, won't you, that this does put a particular face on the importance of some public employees.
I don't disagree with you on that. And that point, but I do think.
So what's your point, David? So what's your point?
Let me. Okay, so I was going to say.
So David, let me respond. Let me first say this: the shortage of air traffic controllers in the United States has been ongoing for decades. The shortage has been attributed to a number of factors, including the financial crisis of 2008, the rapid increases in air travel after COVID-19, the pandemic, and the government. For the sake of clarity. Now, go ahead.
Okay. All right, fine. But at the end of the day, the federal government has not been implementing new technology to not only the FAA, but to multiple government agencies. We're operating on some computer system.
Oh, okay. So David, I have to interrupt you, and I'm interrupting you because you're talking as if they've already decided that the reason this accident happened was the air traffic controllers. They don't know yet.
Well, let me say this, though. What Dave is saying is that the government needs to spend money.
I know what he's saying.
To become a more competently operating government. And I think that's very true. But I don't think assaulting government, taking on government and vilifying it is accomplish that outcome. In fact, it's been that process ever since Ronald Reagan, I think, which has cause the capacity of government to operate well to be eroded by that kind of negative attention.
Let me ask you, David, do you agree with the response of President Donald Trump pointing the finger and blaming DEI for this?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Yeah, listen, goodness sakes. Visual flight rules, instrument flight rules. You had a pilot of a Black Hawk. These pilots that fly these Black Hawks are better trained than most commercial pilots will ever be. He was at 300 or 400 feet. The jet that was coming in was on final approach. He could easily see the lights of the airport. He should have known the path of the plane, the commercial planes that were coming in. What was that Black Hawk even doing there? Okay, that's what I want to know. The other thing, I'm not going to call him a president anymore. When I call this show, I'm just going to call him Trump, because he's just a narcissistic idiot who gets on a microphone and takes a disaster and tries to make score points with his 77 million morons that voted for him. Okay, this is ridiculous. I feel so ashamed for my country, our country, Trump, not yours. You're not writing personal checks to people. You're writing tax checks. You're holding up SNAP money. Everything you've done since you've gotten in office has been a joke. The rest of the world is laughing at us. We have become the joke again with Trump in office.
Hey, Brendan, tell us how you really feel. 855-752-4842. Hang on, guys. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Show, as always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. We're talking about, you know, President Trump's response to a horrific, you know, crash on yesterday. And, you know, it's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we'll get into the music. I'll give people a chance to guess on what the music is. And why you played it. But let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. I say that Trump's comments at his press conference were wrong in so many ways. I mean, it's hard to even list them all. I find it ironic that he said he wants to hire geniuses, you know, very intelligent individuals to be these air traffic controllers. And I got news for him. He wouldn't be able to pass his own test, because this is coming from a man during his first term indicated that stealth bombers, they're invisible. You can't see them on the runway or when they're sitting on the ramp. You know, they're totally invisible. You can walk right into them. He actually is on record saying that. You know, but also I want to further comment on what you mentioned earlier, Earl, about how he totally dissed and wrote off anybody who's not able-bodied. I did mention earlier yesterday that I worked at Washoe County Airport in the 80s, and there was a young air traffic controller, really nice guy. Unfortunately, he had an accident. He jumped off a boat into a in a lake in shallow water, broke his neck. All right, he was paralyzed and wheelchair bound. He still was able to maintain his job and was actually promoted. And they actually ran ads, and one of them was in Time Magazine, where it showed him on the ramp in his wheelchair, and behind him was a DC-10, and the caption was, "I may be disabled, but I can land a jumbo jet." So with that in mind, what is our current president saying that anybody who's disabled, you know, is not 100%, we're going to write you off? You're not, you know. You're
That's
not
what he said, man.
But he was older, you know, that we're going to write you off.
That's exactly what he said, man. That's to say that and not even think that he said something that was egregious is the part of this man that frustrates me, Jim. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think I still come back to the point that I think the most significant aspect of this from the American public standpoint is it puts a specific face and a specific function in the spotlight with respect to what the government does for us. And the notion that the government is a deep state filled with bureaucrats who are simply applying stamps to paper and sitting there processing paper endlessly and purposelessly is so wrong. And that government is filled with people who, one, require expertise to do their job. It isn't just landing planes that requires expertise, it's fighting fires. It's collecting taxes. It's doing all the things that the government does. It's a business that requires people who know the function that they are doing, pursue it well and efficiently, and it competently. And the government is filled with competent individuals who have careers built around their competence. And to simply want to get rid of them in a program in which you promote their early retirement, and to simply want to shave billions and billions of dollars off of our payroll without regard to what the person's function is, and to turn the public's attention negatively in the direction of the government, I think is something that was easy to do, and easy to do when it's faceless, but it's not easy to do when it's air traffic controllers you're talking about.
Let me ask you something, Sandy. You once worked in government for a governor. Let me ask you, because maybe I don't know, right? I mean, you know, I didn't graduate from an Ivy League school. But if you talk about the president of the United States, a governor, and you talk about all of these people that Donald Trump has worked with, all those people work in government. I don't know.
No,
right?
But that's the gaslight. That's the whole gaslight. The politicians say it's not the politician's problem, it's the deep state, it's the bureaucrats, okay? It's the people who work as careers in government that are the problem. It's not us who dally in it politically. We're not the problem. And of course, I think it's quite the upside down version of what's the problem in Washington.
You know, Sandy, so many of these politicians are career people. They've been there 30 years, 20 years, 25 years, 12 years, 15 years. To condemn and talk about other people who work in government on lower levels, Sandy, to me, is an outrage. And they vilified those people, as you stated.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a 40-year campaign vilifying government, saying that these bureaucrats, and calling them bureaucrats, and putting into everyone's mind this notion of people who simply push paper from one corner of their desk to the other, when that is not the nature of most government jobs.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams. Got a lot more to talk about. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.